Yisrael, our Torah points out that in the whole Parshas Truman, the whole Parshas Vayakov, it never says a Lashon Tziva. Never has a Lashon Kasha Tziva. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it says Yata Tetzaveh. It says that this is the Tzivui. And then in Parshas Pikudei, it says 13 times Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. It says that they did everything Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Haloi Dovahu. Very strange. Hakom and Truman and Vayakov never says once the word Tzivui. And in Tetzaveh, with the corresponding parsha of Pikudei, it says to save the Lashon Tzivui. But he explains, based on the Rashi, the beginning of Parsha Tzav, in Chumash Vayikra, in Lashon Tzav, the Lashon Tzivui is Miyada L'Doris, that the expression mitzvah, Tzivui, Tzivo, only applies when it's a mitzvah L'Doris. When it's a Hirah Shoah, it's called the Dvar Nevuah, it's not called the Tzivui. So on Parsha Truma, we read about the Mishkan. The things in the Mishkan were Hayruah Shoah. The Bayis Rishon wasn't like that. The Bayis Sheni was in Gansen different. Bayis Shlishi is going to be in Gansen different. But in Parshas Tetzaveh, we read about the Big Dikuna. The Big Dikuna were exactly the same. In the Mishkan, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, the Big Dikuna don't change. So that's why in Parshas Vayakel, where it writes the fulfillment of the all of the Dinim and Truma, it doesn't say one Saloshin Tzivut. Doesn't say that they did Kasha Tzivah Hashem Es Moshe. It wasn't a mitzvah. It was a Hayruah Shoah. It was a Nevuah. Masha'ini came in Parshas Pekudei, it says 13 times Lashon Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, because that Pekudei describes the fulfillment of all of the dinim that appear in Parshas Tetzaveh. And in Tetzaveh, the dinim were Lederus. The dinim were not a Hirosha, they were really Lederus. The first dinim Parshas Tetzaveh is the dinim Hadlaka Samanora, which Rashi points out is really a Hakrovas Korban. We usually don't think of it as such. We usually think of the Korban as the Korban Behema, Korban Oif, a Mincha, Yayin. But the burning of the Shemen and the Neir is also a din of a Korban Sibur, Shizmanu Kavua. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Lahalos Ner Tomis. And we learned from that passage that it's Zeicha Shabbos and it's Zeicha Tuma. Tomid, the Gemara has, the Torah's Kohanim has here, that the Torah's Mima quotes in the Torah's Kohanim. Tomid, Afilu B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Tuma. That's not locha, but all korbanos is manam kavu. It doesn't even have to be a korban tziva, a korban yachid also. It doesn't really depend on tziva versus yachid. It really depends on korban shizmanam kavu versus the korban shein's manam kavu. You have korbanos tziva which are not manam kavu, like Par Havandovish of Tzibur, Assyria of Arizor, which is not Decha Shabbat, not Decha Tumah. Then you have a Korban Yochid, which is Manu Kavua, like the Chavita Kangor, which are brought every day. So he pays for it from his own funds, the Kangor, like the Korban Yochid, because he pays for it. And it's Decha Shabbat and it's Decha Tumah. You have the Par Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which is also a Korban Yochid. Tzibur Chatas Ashaloi, Zoy Rosh Allah, he has to pay for it, the Kangol pays for it, that's the Korban Yochid, and because it's Manu Kavua, so it's Zecha Shabbos, Zecha Tumas. So this din, that you're Madlik, the Menorah, Afilu B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Tumas, is part of that universal din, it's part of that general din, that all Korbanish is Manu Kavua, we call it Korban Sibur, but it doesn't really depend on Sibur, it really depends on Korbanish is Manu Kavua, Zecha Shabbos, and Zecha Tumas. Rashi on the Pasuk, L'Halas Ner Tomid, Rashi has another comment, not that Tomid means Afilu B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Tumah, that's a drasha. Tomid, Afilu B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Tumah is a drasha, that's not the Peshuto. Rashi says Tomid means regularly. The menorah doesn't burn all day and all night, it only burns balaylo. Rav HaRishonim hold the only madlik the menorah at night, just the Rambam has a strange shita. The Rashi has a long tshuva, he disagrees with the Rambam. Rambam says you do hadlaka twice, you do hadlaka balaylo and do hadlaka bayom. The other Rishonim say it's not true. In the morning, when you see that the menorah went out after burning all night, so you do Hatovim. Hatovim means that you clean it out and you fill it up with oil and you put in the wicks and you prepare it for the Hadlaki in the evening and then you light on in the Erev Adroike. The Chumash and Hatovim, you light in the Erev Adroike. Where does it say, the Rambam is strange, where does it say that you have two Hadlakas in a day? So the Pashtus is not like the Rambam. You don't burn the menorah all day and all night. Just by light on the Erev Adroike. That's how the Pasuk says, the Erev Adroike. So what does it mean, Tomid, Lahalas Ne Tomid? So Rashi learns Tomid means on a regular basis, day in, day out, every single day. And Rashi says the same is true regarding, the same is true means the same pshat in Chumash regarding Oilas Tomid. What do you mean Oilas Tomid? All day and all night the Kohanim are busy bringing Korban Tomid. They're not busy Kiseder. They're not busy all day and all night bringing Korban Tomid. Korban Tomid means it should be offered on a regular basis. Masha'ini came, the word Lechem Panim, but Panay Tomid, you should bring put lechem aponim on the shulchan, avol tonik onu lechem aponim, that has a different meaning. Taka, what does that mean? Lechem aponim. The Rashi says that's not the same as over here. Here the word tamid means on a regular basis. Every night you should be modeling the menorah. Every day you should bring a tamid shashach, a tamid shmein aponim regularly. But there the word tamid has a different meaning. So really, that's the machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah Menorah. Whether the lechem aponim required tmidius in the sense that it had to be on the shulchan kiseder all the time, kiseder mishabbos l'shabbos, that's what Rashi quotes. The word tamid by lechem aponim has a different meaning. It means that it should be on kiseder. Aye, but when they took off on Shabbos, they took off the old lechem aponim that they used to bake the lechem aponim on Friday. And if Friday was Yontif, they would bake it on Thursday. And if they were 2 days Yontif, the Mishnah says, 2 days Yontif is Marabai. 2 days Rosh Hashanah is. 2 days Yontif, they were taken on Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah would turn out to be Thursday and Friday. It's Marabai. So then they would bake the Lechem Aponim on Wednesday. They would put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And then they would take it off next Shabbos. So the Mishnah asks in Menachos, when they take off the Lechem Aponim, and then they put on a new Lechem Aponim, so that there's at least a half a minute when there's no lechem aponim on the shulchan, so where's the talmid? I says in the Torah talmid. So there's a machlekes hatanan. So one time it says it doesn't mean anything. Just like lahalas ne'er talmid means on a regular basis, every evening, and carbon talmid means every day, twice a day, regularly. So the lechem aponim also talmid means every week. You should put a lechem aponim every week. It doesn't have to be on solid 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even if you took off the lechem aponim Shabbos in the morning, the old lechem aponim, put on the two lechem aponim a minute before the shkia, and it was off for 15, 16 hours, there was no lechem aponim on the shulchan, that's also called tamid. And the other tamid disagrees, and he says, no, like Rashi implies over here, that the word tamid by the lechem aponim has a different meaning. It means kiseder, not just on a regular basis, weekly, you should do it regularly. It means the lechem aponim has to be on kiseder. Aye, but they take it off, it's going to be missing for 2 minutes, that can be a lechem aponim. So one time it says in the Mishnah, no, tipcha shozeh, betat tipcha shozeh. They had two sets of kohanim. The kohanim who took off the old lechem aponim were standing next to the kohanim who put on a new lechem aponim. Let's say this is the shulchan. So here's the lechem aponim on the shulchan. So instead of taking it off and then putting on the two lechem aponim, so you have 2 moments that there's no lechem aponim. So the Mishnah says no, they would have the two kohanim have a new lechem aponim, and they would push it on like this, and the two guys would take off the old lechem aponim, as the new guys would put on the new lechem aponim, there would be lechem aponim, it wouldn't be the same lechem aponim. There would be a second where half of the old lechem aponim, half of the new lechem aponim of Yom, but the shulchan is always with lechem aponim. So it's in that sugya where the Gemara has that machlekes. Rashi's writing over here one opinion. Rashi's writing one opinion that the word tamid by lechem aponim means much more than tamid by ner tamid and tamid by korban tamid. Tamid over there means mamish. So the Gemara says there in office that by talmud Torah there's also a requirement for limud b'hasmada. You have to learn b'hasmada. Exactly where the pasuk in the Chumash uses that expression is a question, but that's what the Gemara assumes, that limud haTorah has to be b'tmidius. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? You learn a shmek every day. You learn every day from 9 to 3. That's enough. You learn on a regular basis. Every day you learn from 9 to 3 and you yotze. Then you have a night seder. You learn from whatever, from 8 to 2 in the middle of the night. You yotze. That's enough. That's enough on a regular basis. So no, that's not enough. You have to learn Mahasmada maneuver all day and all night. The moments, every free moment. If you don't have a free moment, you have to go to college. To the extent that you have to go to college. It depends how many cuts do they allow you. If it's unlimited cuts, then how many courses do you have to attend in order to do well on the final? And do you want to go into that graduate school? You have to do very well and make sure that if you get to know the teacher, you should know your name and they'll write you a letter of recommendation. So to the extent that you have to attend, so that's not free time. To the extent that you don't have to attend the classes, so you have free time, so you're not allowed to go to the classes. You're not allowed to listen to classical music. You're not allowed to go to the football game, to the baseball game. You have to learn how to smother all day and all night. So that's the machlokes hatanoim. And in Shulchan Aruch, that's how we paskin. We paskin like the Rashi over here. That the word tamid by lechem aponim means tamid mamish. Not the same, not regular, not on a regular basis. Tamid means b'hasmother, kiseder, all day and all night. You have to have the lechem aponim. So the Gemara says that it's Talmud Zevizeh, that that's how we assume by Talmud Torah. So Talmud Torah, every person is obligated to learn, whether rich or poor, the Rambam writes, rich or poor, healthy or sick, young or old, everyone is obligated to learn every free moment of time that he has. If provided that he has free moments of time. He has to learn every free moment of time to learn b'hatmada meruba. That's called a masmid. Everyone is obligated to learn b'hatmada. Not some, a masmid is a mila. That's the din. Everyone is obligated to learn b'hatmada. And hatmada doesn't mean on a regular basis. 9 to 3 every morning and 8 to 2 every night. That's not sufficient. Sometimes that's more than enough. That's all the free time that he has. Rambam writes a schedule. Rambam writes in the Yalach HaZokah that a person who works for a living, so he should learn 8 hours a day. That the people who work for a living is using my brain. That's how the Nesivis writes in his Tzavor, that's printed together with his Haggadah. So he writes, for those of his, he's leaving a Tzavor for his descendants, for his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, for those who are going to work for a living, so before they go to the office, they have to learn 3 Prokem Mishnayis before Shachris and 5 Lat Gemara after and 3 Simonim and Arachayim, and then they can begin to go to work. No, that's for those who are going to go to business. Those who are not going to business, they have to learn all day and all night. Yeah. So that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, like that. You're a day, Hilchos Talmid Torah. Like this Rashi on Chumash, the word Talmid over here means B'hasmada Merubah. Not just that one should learn on a regular basis, a little bit every day and a little bit every night, that's not sufficient. And to learn Kiseda, every 3 minutes. Then the Torah has all the dinim of the Big Day Kuna, and right afterwards it has the dinim of the special korbanas that were brought in order to initiate the Kedushas Kuna, in order to create the Kedushas Kuna. And the Gemara has a drasha here, chapter Chavchez, according to the Christian chapters that are printed in all of our Tanakh. You have about the Big Day Kuna. In chapter Chavtez, right after Revi, you have all of the korbanos. Why is there a smichas aparshias of Big Day Kuna right next to the korbanos? So the Gemara says in Zvachim that just like korbanos amachapas, so to the Big Day Kuna amachapas. Just the essence fact that the Kohanim do avoid the while wearing Big Day Kuna. No. That's in fact that the Kohanim are wearing the Big Day Kuna amachapar on different averis. And the Gemara says which Big Day Kuna amachapar on which averis. One is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, one is Mechaper on Yibus HaDin, and one is Mechaper on Horik V'Shogeg. Different Big Day Kuna, Mechaper on different things. How many types of Big Day Kuna were there? So it's strange, the Chumash over here only lists off 2. There were really 3 sets of Big Day Kuna. There's Big Day Kuna in Hedyot, Big Day Kuna in Gordel, and Big Day Kuna in Gordel V'Yom HaKippur. Shlomo Ravilna asked that question. In the Binyan Shlomo, how come the Parsha only lists off 2? They should have listed off all 3. You have the Big Day Kuna in Gordel and Yom Kippur is a third set. A third uniform, a Gansan dish. The Chumash doesn't have it here, it only has it later on in Achrimah. The Chumash says several times that when they wear the Big Day Kuna, they become Kohanim. When they don't wear the Big Day Kuna, they're not Kohanim. The Yosu is Big Day Aharon, the Katsho Lachan Oli. His man should Big Day Malayim, Kunas Malayim, and Ain Big Day Malayim. What's the significance of this? Say they have to wear Big Day Kuna to do the Avodah. I mean, a Kohen doesn't get the first Aliyah if he doesn't wear Big Day Kuna, and he can't do Duchen, and he can't do Pidyon HaBen if he doesn't wear Big Day Kuna, and he's allowed to marry a Grusha. That's it. The Reform allowed, the Conservatives allowed a Kohen to marry a Grusha. That's the terrorist, because they don't wear Big Day Kuna. If they don't wear Big Day Kuna, they don't have the status of Kohen. So what does it mean? Zman Sheimek Den. So the Gemara says it means Benegir to one Din. It's only Benegir to one Din. That a non-Kohen who does Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, there's a din Hazar HaKorev Yuma. So Hazar means a non-Kohen. HaKorev means that he comes close to the Mizbech and he does Avodah. Yuma means Mizvedei Shemai. So Hazar who does Avodah, Sakharbon, is Chai Mizvedei Shemai. Not on every Avodah, the Gemara Yuma restricts it. There are only dollar Avodahs, turns out. There are only 4 Avodahs, from all the million Avodahs in the Beis HaMikdash, that if a non-Kohen does it, it's Chai Mizvedei Shemai. So that Aloha, that Hazar HaKorev Yuma, that only a Kohen can do Avodah. What if a Kohen does Avodah but the Kohen is not wearing the Big Day Kuna? So the Gemara says, a Mechus, that the Kohen does Avodah not wearing the Big Day Kuna, he's also Chayim Misim De Shemai, because the San Shem Ben Malayim, Ein Kunos Malayim, Bahavale Kizar, the Hazar, Shishimesh Ben Misim, a non-Kohen that does Avodah is also Chayim Misim De Shemai. So the pastor says that that's the only thing, that's the only case where this is relevant, it's been a gift to Avodah Sakarbonis. It's not a din of Kolot HaRukul of Izzam Shem Mekdeim Aleim Enkun Osamon. That's why the Bali Atesis wondered about the Rabbi Natan's story. The Mordechai in Gittin and Daf Samach quotes a story that once a Kohen was pouring water on the Rabbi Natan's hands. Maisha Shiyot HaKohen Mayim. Are they Rabbi Natan? Probably want to wash for bread or whatever. So they didn't have any faucets, so it wasn't so easy. So they had to have big buckets. They had to draw water from the well, and they had to have big buckets, and then they had to dip in their tail in the bucket. So they were a kohen was pouring water on Rabbeinu Tam's head. So Rabbeinu Pether was the Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. So he asked him, Peter asked Tam, Rabbeinu Pether asked Rabbeinu Tam, how can he allow the kohen to pour water on his hands? The Chayyushalmi that says, Hamishtamish the kohen moal. That you're not allowed to use a kohen to service you. So how can he let the kohen pour water? So Rabbeinu Tam said, Ein big day malay, man can also let. He's not wearing the big day kohen, so it's okay. So they started a whole fuss. What do you mean, Ein big day malay, man can also malay? So how does he get the first aliyah if he's not a kohen? And how does he do kohen? And how does he officiate by figure? Then how does he do all the other things? Obviously, it's only restricted to korbanos. But then they said, no, the answer really is that the kohen is mechal on his kovet. He's mechal on his kovet. He wanted to service the Rabbeinu Tam, so then there's no prohibition. The only time it's also to be mishtamish bekuna is if you force the kohen into servicing you and he's not really happy about it. He really didn't want to do it. But if he volunteers on his own, out of the goodness of his heart, he wants to pour the hands, wants to pour the water in Rabbeinu Tam's hands, so then there's no prohibition. But that's not what the Rabbeinu Tam's first answer was. First Rabbeinu Tam said, man shei mekdem alei men kunasamalei. So that's what the Mordechai quotes at the Bali Atayis. He didn't understand. How can he say such a thing? We know that that's restricted davke to that din is only binigya to hakrovas karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash. So Soloveitchik was very fond of explaining pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam as follows. It's not restricted only to hakrovas karbanos. It's the din in kedushas kunashe b'amikdash. There are two levels of kedushas kunashe. There's kedushas kunashe b'amikdash and kedushas kunashe b'gvulin. To have Kedushas Kunashe B'Amikdosh, you require Big Day Malayim. For Kedushas Kunashe B'Gvulin, Chutz L'Amikdosh, you don't need Big Day Kunah. That's why the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, and he duchens, and he participates in the Tikkun Aben, and so on, without Big Day Kunah. But to say, Loshan HaRishalmi is to say, HaMishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al, this is Me'ilo, it doesn't say, Osa L'Hishtamish B'Kohen. If it would have said like that, it would have been also even to believe Big Day Kunah. But it says, HaMishtamish B'Kohen Mo'al, Nu Me'ilo, we know, is a technical term that applies only to Kodesh HaMikdash. There's only Me'ilah and Kodesh HaMikdash. Let's say a person is Nana from a Sefer Torah, he's Nana from a pair of tefillin. So you say that he's Mo'al. You can't apply Me'ilah, Sefer Torah, tefillin, a mezuzah, whatever. It has Kedusha, but it's not Kedusha HaMikdash. So the whole concept of Me'ilah doesn't apply. So if the Yerushalmi uses the expression HaMishtamish B'Kohuna Mo'al, that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Nesiyas Katfayim. In the end of Simen Kuf Chav Ches, the Ramah quotes this in Yishalmi, that's when he quotes this Rabbeinu Tam, as it appears in the Mordechai, Gittin Daf Sama. So the expression Mo'al seems to indicate that it only applies, this prohibition only applies to those Kohanim who have Kedushas Kunashe B'Amikdash. So that's why the Rabbeinu Tam said that you have to have Dafke B'Zman Shebikdei Malayim Kuhunasim Malayim. In fact, it is such a din. Let's say a person sits in Sukkah to fulfill a mitzvah, so all you need is that Rosh Hashanah with the Sukkah. Even if it kneels, even if he has his feet out of the sukkah for some reason or another. As long as Rosh HaVeruv is in the sukkah, he has his hands out of the sukkah, there's no problem. But let's say a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, a kohen in the Beis HaMikdash is going to do avodah, so the Gemara says even if he has his payas hanging out of the Beis HaMikdash, people could see this Rosh HaVeruv. Even if the whole kohen has to be in the Azara kulay, kol kulay, it's not enough for Rosh HaVeruv, you have to have kulay in the Beis HaMikdash, and even if he has long payas, that if he would have been on the snagging, he wouldn't have had to pay this at all. But because he has these chassid or atzvardi, he has these long pays, and the pays are out of the kedusha shazare. So the Gemara says the whole avodah is no good. He's not a kedusha kunash b'amikdash. You have to have kol kulo in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the same as why, because kedusha kunash b'amikdash is only if the kohen is in that place. We want to discuss where is the person. So you say the person is where he is. It doesn't help. Rosh HaRuba is in one place. But if Miyuto is in another place, then the entire person is not in this place. By sitting in Sukkah, there is no din that the person has to be in the Sukkah. There's no such halacha like that. The halacha has to do a Maista Yeshiva Sukkah. So when you're speaking of a Maista, so you say Ruba Kukuloi. If Roiv of the person did Yeshiva Sukkah, so the person did Yeshiva Sukkah, Ruba Kukuloi is a din in the Maista. Yeshech the Bein, so Yeshech the Roiv Kona Roiv Reishit, they say a din of Maista Shkita to the Kona to the Reishit. Over here by the Kedushas Kunashe B'Amikdash, it's not a din that the kohen has to enter the Azara. The din has to enter. He doesn't have to enter. What if they took him in there? He has to be there. The din, where is he? The Kedushas Kunashe B'Amikdash is only when he's in the Mikdash. When he's not in the Mikdash, so he doesn't have this Kedushas Kunashe B'Amikdash. So you need that. The whole kohen, head to toe, should be in the Mikdash. Let's say the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to do Avodah Lifnei V'Lifnei. So he has to be Lifnei V'Lifnei. So do you require that the whole body of the Kohen Gadol should be Lifnei V'Lifnei? What if it's Rosh HaRubo? Let's take a Beirush in the Gemara. That may be that Rosh HaRubo will be enough. That may be a din. He has to enter Lifnei V'Lifnei. There is no separate din of Kedushas Kohen Gadol should be Kodesh HaKadosh. There is no such din like that. When he's in Kodesh HaKadosh, he has a new level of Kedusha. No. The Kohen Gadol as opposed to Kohen Hedya? Yeah, the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah. Kohen Hedya can't do it. What do you mean, the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's not a halacha like that. It's not a halacha. The Avodah has to be done. He has to do the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he has to do it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So as long as Rosh HaRuga is there, you say he did the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But the Kohen doing Avodah in the Azara is not enough. The Kohen did the Avodah. The Ma'aseh Avodah should be done in the Azara. So Rosh HaRuga is in the Azara. So he did the Avodah. That's not enough. He doesn't have a Kedushas Kunish HaMikdash. Unless he is in the Mikdash, and he is the whole heap with his payas, with his tzitzis rosh. It's interesting, the Pasuk says, V'yato ha-krevei elecha asar nechicha. You have to do it. V'yosisa v'ata tadaber. You have to do it. You have to do it. What distress that Moshe Rabbeinu has to do. And then it says later, again in the beginning, chapter Chavtes, you should do this. Why does it keep on stressing you? Maybe it always stresses you. No, it's hard to tell. You have to look. Some portion claim that there's more of a stress over here that Moshe Rabbeinu should do this than in the rest of Truman Tzai. If this is true, so then some suggest that what it means is the following. That the Tosfos in Yuma, after Beis Hamidrash, I think, the first parak in Yuma, quotes a Yerushalmi that you can fire a Kohen Gadol. And Mishnah says you can fire a Kohen Gadol. Mishnah talks that a Kohen Gadol has to bring a special carbon if he was Mechal Shabbos. So what if he was Mechal Shabbos before he was appointed a Kohen Gadol and then he became appointed? Which carbon does he bring? Does he bring a carbon Hedyot or does he bring a carbon Kohen Gadol? Well, let's say he was Mechal Shabbos while he was a Kohen Gadol and then they fired him. So does, and then he didn't get around to bring the carbon until after he was fired. Does he bring the carbon Kohen Gadol because when he did the Avera, did he go Basar Avera? Did he go Basar Shas HaKrovim? So it's a discussion in the Mishnayis, in the Hayriyas, the Machlokes HaTanim, a discussion in the Hayriyas, in the Gemara, in the fourth parak, in the Ksuvah, of course. The Ksuvah of Sanhedrin also, a little bit part of it. The Shtani Din, the Shtani Tov, the Ksuvah of Sanhedrin, the fine base by Ben Sora Morim. So the Mishnah states clearly that there's such a thing as firing the Kohen Gadol. So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi has an expression, the Kohen Gadol is Nisman Bepeh and he can be Misalik Bepeh. Whoever hires him, whoever appointed him has the right to fire him. So Tosfos wants to know who's Peh. Nisman Bepeh, he can be appointed, he is appointed by the appointment. Someone declares, we hereby declare you as the Kohen Gadol. Who declares you Kohen Gadol? The President of Yeshiva University? The President Hesar? President of Medina Yisrael? Who does the appointment? The Tosfos says they're not sure. Mistabra Tosfos says, Melech ve'echov ha-kohanim. They think that the appointment of the Kohen Gadol has to be Aidei HaMelech ve'echov ha-kohanim. Some claim, I'm not sure, you have to look through the two parashiyos carefully. Some claim that by the appointment of the Kohen Gadol here, by the appointment of the Kohanim and the endowing the Kohanim with Kedushas Kuneh, this more stress on Moshe Rabbeinu's participation than in everything else in Truman itself. I wasn't so convinced, but in Tzilayim that that's so. You have to read the Sukkim and compare it. If you should say V'ato HaKrevei Lecho V'Yosiso V'Yashatasalem, if one should assume that there is such a mashmaz, that there's more of a participation, so then, if you have a question, then the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of Melech. The Gemara has that Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a melech, and therefore it was necessary to have not only Echav HaKohanim, his four sons were appointed father, no problem. Not only a lot of his sons, but all appointed father as he can go along. But you have to have Moshe Rabbeinu's participation, also the Taras Melech, that he should appoint the Kohen Gadol.
Who would say that persons who king and Kohen Gadol, no one who was appointed like that, and that happened in history, who would appoint them?
He can appoint himself too. The Goyish HaMelech, yeah, that's what it was, Lameister, that they used to bribe, yeah, the Gemara says they used to bribe the Goyish king to be appointed to Kohen Gadol. that he was self-appointed. He was the melech, and then he appointed himself as the king. Well, that wasn't right. The Gemara says it wasn't right. You're not supposed to have kuna and malchus. You're not allowed to have a kohen serve as a melech, period. You're not allowed to have any melech outside of the malchus beis David, but you certainly, even if b'shas b'tchak, you have no brer, and you have to make a melech other than malchus beis David. But kohanim is an additional issue. You have to have a separation of sort of separation of church and state. You can't have the same people manning the beis hamikdash as running the government. This is some claim that there's a mashmos in the pasuk that ba'ata hakriv elecha, that Moshe Rabbeinu had to participate here with a special role as the melech. What were the begodim? So the Gemara says in next to the last parak in Yuma that the Gemara quotes a Mishnah has a lashon that a kohen had you does avoid the dalav begodim, and a kohen gadol has an additional dalav begodim over and above the dalav begodim of the kohen had you. The pashtus is in the Mishnah when you read it, the Maharami Prat points out on this week's parsha in the Gurariya, the bottom of the Mizrahi. The Pasha Pshat and the Mishnah and the Gemara is that the Kohen Gadol wears the same basic four big day kunas the Kohen Hedyim. Then, Moshe Falein Kohen Gadol, then he wears another four Gadol. But this is really 2 days in Tosis. Is that true? Because by the Kohen Hedyim, the hat that they wore is described as a mitznefes, and by the Kohen Gadol is described as a mikbas. A different word. So the Gurari says the same thing. The Dalad Godin were the same thing by Kagon Kohanyut. And then Moshe Balei and Kagvali with the Choshen and Eifer and Mehil and Xenis. And it's he wears an additional four Godin. But the basic four Godin are the same. That's one opinion in Tosis. Another opinion in Tosis is not true that the Mikbas and the Mitznefes are called two different things. Obviously, they're two different things. They have two different names. They're not the same thing. So why were they not the same? So the Tosis explains in the beginning of Sukkot. First pair of Nesukim and Yuma Tosis has it. The Shaila is, it says the Kohen Gadol should wear the tzitz. Boy al mitzvah tomid. Metzach means a forehead. So does he really wear it on his forehead? Or no? Just like it says, while you go to talk with Benin Echo, you should wear tefillin Benin Echo. So Benin Echo does mean that you wear the tefillin over here. Benin Echo, we have a tradition, it means over here, on the here. So too it says, boy al mitzvah tomid. Metzach. Sounds like it means forehead, but it's not true. You put the tzitz over here, but makom seyer. That's how it appears. That's one, two days in Tosis in Sukkot, the first day of Hey in Sukkot. Whether the tzitz was on the forehead or the tzitz 2 days in Yuma, in Tosis in Yuma. Whether the tzitz was on the forehead or the tzitz was the makom seyer. Now, if the tzitz was b'makom seyor, then the Gemara says Saira, the Kohen Gadol had Saira hoyanira bein tzitz l'mitznefes shesham hoy meniach tefillin. Kohen Gadol used to have the tzitz and the mitznefes or the mikbas, whatever we Chumash calls the mikbas, I think, had the tzitz over here and the mitznefes over here, and he had the tefillin in between. He had to wear tefillin also. He couldn't wear tefillin shol yad. The Gemara has in the first dat in Erechim, the Kohen couldn't wear tefillin shol yad. That'll be a chatzitza in between the big likun and ban. He can't put the tefillin on top of the big likun. Because the big dekuna will be a chatzitza. There's a din of chatzitza by shal yad. Shal rosh is a machlokes of rishonim, where there's a din of chatzitza or not. We're machmer that there is. But other rishonim hold that there isn't. But by shal yad, that's a mishnah megillah. That if you wear the tefillin on top of unkli beis yad shalah, if you wear the tefillin on top of the shirt sleeve, then you're not yoyte the mitzvah because of the din of chatzitza. So v'hoy l'choliyos, lo lachem liyos, it has to be b'makom l'choliyos. You have to have it under your sleeve. You can't have it on top of the sleeve. That's the feirish. So shalyad they never wore. The Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash, when they did avoid, they didn't wear shalyad. And that's what the Gemara says in Erechim, that's the Chiddush. That hakol hayoch mitzvilen afilu kohanim. Why is there a Chiddush? Because since they don't wear shalyad, I might have thought they should be exempt from shal rosh also. Maybe you don't have to wear tefillin at all. Since when they do avoid the Beis HaMikdash, they don't wear shalyad. Maybe they never have to wear tefillin period. Kamash will no. They have to wear the shal rosh even in the Beis HaMikdash. And shaloi b'shaas, levish is big likuna. They wear both the shalyad and the shal rosh. They have to wear all the tefillin. So the shal rosh they did wear. But the Gemara says a lashon tzaira hayonira beit tzitz l'mitznefesh shesham hayminich film. His hair would be sticking out in between the tzitz and the mitznefesh. According to one opinion in Tosis, the tzitz was on makom seyer, and the tefillin was over here, and the mitznefesh was over here. That's only by kohen gadol. Kohen hedyot only had tefillin, and right away mitznefesh. So the kohen hedyot had a bigger yarmulke than a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol had a little yarmulke, turban, whatever it was. Where the Rambam describes it as a big turban. So according to the one opinion of Tosis, the Kohen Hedyot had a bigger turban than the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol had to wear the tzitzit over here, then he had to wear the tefillin over here, then he had to have the mikvahs over here. But that's why the Chumash uses a separate lashon. One is called mitznevet, one is called mikvahs, because the turban of the Kohen Gadol covered less of the head. The holier you are, the smaller the yarmulke. See? Even university students are the holiest of the holies. We have the smallest yarmulke. That's one opinion in Tosfos, that it was small. There is a machlokes Rashi in the Ritva, in the second parak of Kiddushin. Many of you are learning Kiddushin. There is a machlokes there regarding the nature of Bigdei Kohuna. Rashi holds that the Bigdei Kohuna had the status, Rashi and Tosfos both hold, Bigdei Kohuna had the status of Kli Shoris. The Kli Shoris is not only the kelim in which you put the mincha, not only the kelim in which you pour the wine, you hold the wine before you pour it down the sheets and then the pipes on the mizbeah. But the big dekuna that the Kohanim were also had a status of Kli Shoris. What is it? They contained the Kohanim. This man should be Dei Malayim Kunas Malayim. So it's like you have a Kli Shoris and you put a mincha in it, so the Kli Shoris is Mekadosh the mincha, the Kedusha Taguf. That's the whole concept, that you, whatever you put in a Kli Shoris and Mekadosh, what you place into them is learned out from the Pasuk at the end of today's Sedrin. This is Hoyim Mizbeach Kodesh Kodoshim Kol Hanageh Ba Mizbeach Yigdosh. So the Gemara says that is the din of Kli Shoris. Even though we said last week that the Mizbeach HaChitzon really had a din of Binyan, it didn't have a din of Kli Shoris. The Mizbeach HaPnimi had a din of Kli Shoris because it wasn't Mekub HaKanka. It was Mitalkul, but the Mizbeach HaChitzon had a din of Binyan. That's with respect to 90% of the din. But then also it had, in addition to the status of Binyan, it also had a din of Kli Shoris. With respect to this din, the Kli Shoris HaMekadesh, what you put into them. What do you put on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara has it in Perek HaMizbeach Mekadosh. It's the whole Perek in the end of Zochim. That when, even if you put Rashi quotes on Chumash, sometimes even if you put Pasul or Karbonis or Gavi and Mizbeach, the din is in Molo Yerdu. Sometimes the Karbon is so Pasul, it's that feeling Molo Yerdu. Just because you put a Pasul or Karbon on the Mizbeach, so it doesn't mean that you leave it there. But there are some Karbonis, it depends. The Gemara says, Imhoi Psula Bakaydish. Certain psulim are not as bad as others. If the psulim is not that bad, and you put the carbon fossil agavi on the mizbech is coiled it, and you leave it there, the din is a model of the yerdah. So that halacha, model of the yerdah, is based on the principle called hanageh, based on the pasuk called hanageh ba mizbeach yigdosh. That the mizbech has a din of klishar and it's mekadesh. And it's that pasuk that the Gemara learns that, and not only mizbech, even shar klishar is also, all klishar is on the kadesh, what you put into that. The Rashi tells us all that the Bigdei Kohuna also had a status of Kli Shoris. What do you put in the Bigdei Kohuna? What, you put yayin there, you put shemen there, you put menachas there, flour? No, you put the kohen's body in it. When you put the kohen's body in the Kli Shoris into the Bigdei Kohuna, so then the Kli Shoris, the Bigdei Kohuna, I'm a Kaddish him. They give him the status of Kedushas Kohuna, Shabbat Mikdosh. He had a status of kohen before he walks into the Yazarim, before he puts on the Bigdei Kohuna. When he puts on the Bigdei Kohuna, so he's Kedushas Kohuna is in him. It's elevated to the level of Kedushas Kedusha Bamigdosh. That's how Rashi and Tosfos hold. The Ritva says it's not true. The Bigdei Kohuna do not have the status of Kedusha. They have Kedusha, but it doesn't have Kedushas Kedusha. It's an Afkamina Ladina, because the Gemara in the second Perek in Kiddushin on Daf Nun Vav quotes a Mishnah in Me'ilah. The Mishnah Me'ilah on Daf Yutet, in Masechet Me'ilah, says, Ein Vayla Hamoel B'Megdoshim Ela B'Behem B'Klisharis B'Levan. Let's say you have a tape recorder that belongs to Hengdish. And the guy didn't realize it, so by mistake he uses it for his own purposes. And the din is that he was in violation of Me'ilah, and he has to bring a carbon Me'ilah to the Beis HaMikdash. And from now on he can use the tape recorder for whatever he wants because it was Yotzei L'chulin. That's the Mishnah. Ein Moel Acha Moel B'Mugdashin. When somebody is Moel B'Hengdish, no one else can ever be Moel on that Hengdish because the Hengdish was automatically Yotzei L'chulin with the first person's Me'ilah. And the Gemara in Me'ilah learns it out from a pasuk Nefesh Kisim Al Mal Ein Me'ilah B'chol Machlo L'Shina V'Shus. But the word Me'ilah by definition means that the thing is Yotze M'Shus L'Shus. It's Yotze M'Shus Hegdash. Whenever anybody's Mal B'Shaygik B'Hegdash, that's Yotze L'Chul. So the Mishnah has two exceptions to the rule. By Beheime, Korbanet, if someone is Mal, has a Kedusha Saguf, whatever has Kedusha Saguf L'Am Mizbeach is not Yotze L'Chul and Aydei Me'ilah. And Kli Shoris also is an exception to the rule that if somebody is moiled the Kli Shoris, So even though he's more of a shoygig and he has to bring a korban milah to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not yet siluchum. These are the two exceptions to the rule. But Rashi and Tosfos are of the opinion that digdei kuna have the same status as klisharis, because it's the din of yesh moel ha-moel on the klisharis. And the Ritva disagrees. Machlokes the Ritva in the second Torah in Kedusha. Machlokes the Ritva against Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it many places in the Gemara. That digdei kuna have the status of klisharis. So the Kohanim have to wear, the Kohen Hedi wears the Dalad Begodim, and the Kohen Gadol wears, in addition to the basic Dalad Begodim, he wears an additional Dalad Begodim. That's how the Gurari, the Marami Prague, says the Pshuta Shel Mishnah, the Pashtus in the Mishnah in the Sugya at the end of, next to the last Perik in Perik Bola, Kohen Gadol, I think, next to the last Perik in Yuma, implies that the Kohen Gadol's four Begodim are the same as the Kohen Hedi, that the half is the same. That's really tiny. But Tosfos has 2 days of that. Our army truck can't ignore the fact that they said to this. So he's right. The Pashtus in the Mishnah implies that the four begodim are the same, and he only adds an additional four begodim. All of these begodim are taka begodim. Are they begodim? The dinners are on Shabbos, you're not permitted to carry anything. So how are you allowed to walk on the street to carry yourself? So the answer is no, we're not carrying ourselves. That's not called carrying. You have to walk naked on Shabbos, you're carrying your clothing. So the answer is no. Clothing is mutter. What about jewelry? The jewelry is also mitzvah. So there's a din of begodim and there's a din of tashitim. Two different dinim. So let's say the Kohen Gadol wears the shmein of begodim. So the taka all shmein of begodim. They're all begodim. What about the tzitz? The tzitz is a beggar. The tzitz is no cloth at all. Can you call that a beggar? That's a person who wears a golden hat. The tashit also, but it's also a beggar. You can't say it's not a beggar. It's a hat made from gold. Suit of armor. The beggar. The beggar, but the tzitz is a beggar. It's nothing. No. The chor is only a tash. That's the shabbat. The tzitz has the status of a beggar or not at all. Maybe it only has the status of a tash. That's how some discuss. The Gemara says, why does the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he goes in Lifnai with him to do the avodah, why does he not wear the tzitz? So the Gemara says, because the tzitz is made of gold, then kategan atu sanegan. We don't want to remind the Rebbeinu Shel Olam about the Chet HaEgel, which was Egel HaZov, made from gold, so we don't use any gold in the world. You know, this is not the same gold that we use for the Egel HaZov. We don't want to wear anything of gold when he goes in. So Rabbi Kiveger on the side of the Gemara, the Gilyan Hashas, asked the Kasha, what do you mean? What kind of a drosh? It sounds like a rabbi giving a sermon in a homiletic. He can't wear this because it will be in the use of Godin. The Torah says he has to wear it. He doesn't wear the other Shemayim of Godim either. He wears a dozen different Godim on Yom Kippur. He only wears the Dalad, the Godim of Yom Kippur. The Dalad, the Big Day Bod of Yom Kippur. So what kind of a question? Why does he not wear the Tzitz? Because Enka Tegan Asan Ege. He doesn't wear any of the Shemayim of Godim because the Torah says in Parsha Tachrimas, he has to wear the Dalad, the Godim. So some want to say that that's why he doesn't wear the other Big Day Kuna, because of Bima Yut of Godim. If you wear an extra beggar that you're not obligated to, that will constitute an use of godim. But the tzitz, perhaps, is not a beggar at all. Perhaps the tzitz is a tachshit. So if the kohen wears tachshitim, let's say he wears rings, in addition to the big tikkun, he wears rings. If the rings are the makom klisharis, and the klisharis is supposed to touch his hand, so that's a din of chatzitza. Mark of the Pharisee, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza in between the body and the klisharis. Let's say he has rings on his ear, right, earrings, nose rings, he has rings on those fingers which are not touching the klisharis. So there's no problem of chatzitz. The pashtus, perhaps in the Gemara, it seems to imply that there's no problem of mutim gadol. So it's not a beggar, that's a tashit. So some yeshiva, some want to say that the tzitz is not a beggar at all. We call it shmayim gadol, but it's not really a beggar. We call it shmayim gadol to make it easier for us. We're going to say shiva gadol and a tashit. We say shmayim gadol, right? But it's not really true. Maybe the tzitz only had the status of a tachshit. So if he wants to, he can wear it. He should have been able to wear the tzitz on Yom Kippur when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So why Taki doesn't he wear the tzitz? If he would have worn the tzitz, he would be meratzah. The Gemara says it's a mila. The tzitz accomplishes ritzui tzitz. It says, V'ayom mitzvah tamid l'rotzon lahem l'fnei Hashem. When the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, then he's meratzah on korbanos of the tamid. The Gemara has a whole price of what does that mean? If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, his man she'ira tuma b'migdosh, so that carbon, normally a carbon that was offered to tuma is possible, a psul, a carbon tell me is possible, but if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, so then together the carbon will be kosher. That's exactly what it means, ritu tzitz. The Ratzon Lahem L'Fnei Hashem. It only works on Korbanos where the Baal HaKorban is Jewish. The Ratzon Lahem L'Lev Yom Mitzorim. If a Goy brings a Korban to the Beis HaMikdash, you accept it. If one runs up on the Pasuk, you accept it. And what if the Goy's Korban is Korban to Tumah, so it's possible? So you have to stop in the middle of the Avodah. And even though the Kangam is wearing the tzitz, and if it would have been a Jew's Korban, it would have been kosher, but he has it. But if it's a Goy's Korban, the Gemara says he's not doing a breach of tzitz. Because the Pasuk says, L'Ratzon Lahem L'Fnei Hashem. L'Ratzon Lahem L'Lev Yom Mitzorim. If the tzitz is only merasif for Bnei Yisrael, it's not merasif for the Yom Yisrael. But that din, that the tzitz is merasif, is a big shaila. What that means? It means the Kangal just wears the tzitz. He has a regular suit on, a regular three-piece suit, and he wears the tzitz. Oh no, he wears all the big tikkunim with the tzitz, all the Shemana God. So the Taisus in Kiddushin that talks about Yanai HaMelech was wearing the tzitz, and it doesn't say he was wearing anything else, but the Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Taisus on Daf Samachov, I think, sounds like he says that the tzitz alone is merata. The Kangol wears the tzitz, he doesn't have to wear any of the other big tikkunim, just wears the tzitz, merata on the kapon. And some Achrayim hold that it's not so. The Beis HaLevi, not some Achrayim, some major Achrayim. Beis HaLevi, that's Rav Chaim's father. Rabbi Shavit didn't like Rav Chaim's Derech HaLimit. He used to call him the Brisker Rav's son. Because his father, Beis HaLevi, was the Brisker Rav. We today, people today worship Rav Chaim. So we say the Beis HaLevi was Rav Chaim's father. It's a different world. Years ago, they used to say about the Chazon Ish, how great he was. Rav Chaim said that he was a big man. Today the Chazon Ish is so famous that they say Chav Chaim is a great man. The Chazon Ish said that he was a big man. Depends which generation you live. So the Beis HaLevi and his Chuvis, as well as the Dvar Avraham, the Kavan Erov, and his Chuvis, they both claim that the tzitz is meratze. It doesn't mean the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz all by itself. They claim he has to wear all the Shemayim B'Gadol. The Rabbeinu Tam sounds like he holds not so. So that's a shaila. If you all like the Rabbeinu Tam, that there is meaning in wearing the tzitz alone without the rest of the Shemayim B'Gadol, so why shouldn't we recommend the Kohen Gadol should wear the tzitz when he goes into the Kodesh Kodosh and he'll solve the problem of Tumah? The Gemara and Yuma talks about that. Oh, he the Gemara says, give all the Tanayim, Reb Shim, and Reb Yudah, give all the Kangol, they're going to do that, but then Yom Kippur is not going to be wearing the tzitz, the world is going to come to an end, and what they're going to do is going to bring a carpet of tumah, it's going to be kossel, gefela, give all, so let him wear the tzitz, what's the problem? So that's what the Gemara asks, why doesn't he wear the tzitz? There's no problem on the youth of the garden, because it's only a takshit, so to that the Gemara says, no, we can't allow that, because then Kateva and Azhar Tanayim. That's our song for Emperor Rebbe Gevegas Kash. You want to say the tzitz didn't really have the status of a beggar, it had the status of a tachshit, and maybe there wouldn't be a din of miyut of the godim. Rashi has an interesting comment. He quotes from the Medrash in Perek Lamed, in Perek Chav Tes, when you read about the korbanos, special korbanos that had to be offered to endow the Kedushas Kuna to Aaron of Onov. So it says that they had to bring a par. So Rashi on the first pasuk says, pasuk aleph, the very first test, the par, the chaper al maisa ho egel, the hu par. The egel and the par, the same thing. So the Maharal Mifrag, yes, the kash and the gurariyeng, the commentary on Rashi, what happened to the din of Enkar Tegan Azuz on egel? How come you're not worried about Enkar Tegan Azuz on egel? And yes, por adum, also Rashi quotes, the Tavu Hemet Kanechto as Beno, that the Poro is also the mother of the Egon. Why don't you say Enkategan Asa? And he has a few other kashas like that. So some of the kashas, the answers based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah at the end of the third parak, the Gemara says Enkategan Asa and Egon only applies Lefnai Lefnim. It doesn't apply in anything in the Heichal or in the Azorah. Only Mamish Lefnai Lefnim. Then some of the kashas he's still stuck with some of the kashas. He comes up with a Psa'chidish. I don't know. Not so convinced that it's right. He comes up, he claims the following chiddush. He says, the only time you say Enkategan Asa and Eger is when you're not really concentrating on the Egel Azov. I want to blow shofar. I want to do Avodas Yom Kippurim. I have nothing to do with the Egel Azov. So then the Gemara says, you got to be careful. Enkategan Asa and Eger, don't do anything that's going to remind the Rebbeinu Shlomo of the Chet Egel. But if you want to bring a carbon to be mechaper on the Chet Egel, so you're talking about the Chet Egel. So what do you mean? Don't bring up the Chet Egel. Don't bring up anything that has anything to do with the Egel. I'm talking about the Chet Egel. I want to have a kapar. Pleading with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, give us a mechila and a kapar for the Chet Egel. He says, then there's no problem of Enkar Tegan Asa and Egel. Other than you can bring a par and a par and an Egel and a Zohar and everything you want. If that's what you're working on. That's what he claims. I don't know. Achidish. one of the special begotten that the Kohen Gadol wore was the choshen, and he had to have 12 stones in Arbo Aturim, in four rows. Ashayla, how were these Arbo Aturim? It wasn't Arachan Yerdei and Choshen Mishpat Elinan. They were Arbo Aturim. The Choshen Mishpat, the whole thing was the Choshen Mishpat. How were these Arbo Aturim arranged? So in the Torah Shleimah, Rabbi Mendel Kasher's Torah Shleimah, he has pictures. I don't remember seeing in the footnotes that he explains how he figured out these pictures. He claims that the Arbo Aturim were like this. And a lot to have it the other way. You know, the Aron Kodesh in Kiryat Arba, Yeshiva, has it the other way. They have an Aron Kodesh with two sides that separate from each other. So they have the Avot Turim the other way. They have it like this. So I don't know what it's based on. Two is a row. So which row? Horizontal row or vertical row? So I don't know, in the Torah Shleim you have it like this. I've got two of them like this. And a lot of people assume that is the other one. So this beged that the Kohen Gadol wore had to have the 12 stones, and each one of the stones had engraved the Shmos HaShvatim. And this is called the Choshen HaMishpot. Exactly. What does this got to do with Choshen Mishpot? In Shulchan Aruch? Nothing. What does it got to do with Choshen Mishpot? Nothing at all. So the Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel on this pasuk says no. That's where the whole institution comes from. I think this Choshen Mishpot comes from that Targum Yonatan ben Uzziel. He says when they had a suffix and a dintar and didi mamas, they would ask the Choshen Mishpot, and it would give the psak. Chayyav patur, halacha like the ksoit, halacha like the pizkei tshuva, pshach, no. And we usually assume based on the Gemara next to the last perek in Yuma. There's a little tiny paragraph. I think it's paragraph 12 or kind of. Yeah. A small paragraph 12 or kind of. So at the end of that paragraph Shvi, the Mishnah and the Gemara, and the last out there, talk about the big dekunin, about the tzitz, a little bit, and about the Choshen Mishpat, and who, and when you nishal, and you're in the tumin. So the way Rashi reads the Gemara there, the end of paragraph Shvi and Yuma, says that whenever they had a suffix, Choshen HaMishpat, it's called Mishpat, because when they had a suffix initially, they had said they wouldn't ask, because Lo Bashamayni. The Gemara says that you don't ask Benezua Baruch HaKodesh, you don't ask outright Benezua for an answer in each of the Hesed. But indeed, in Mamre, it depends what you can ask.
Because in Russia, they wanted the purpose
of the Chatra HaMishpat, the Chatra. Oh, that's why it's called Choshen HaMishpat. Okay. Right. Okay. That's why it's called Choshen Mishpat. Mechapra on Yivus Adin. That's the Gemara in Zvachan. That all the big dekuna on Mechapra are different other areas, and the Choshen Mishpat is Mechapra on Yivus Adin. Okay. But the Targum Yonason says that only Yisra Behetta you're not allowed to ask. You say, Loi Bashamayndi. But Dini Mamanis, if you don't know this, if you know the Din, you know. But if you don't know, you can ask the Choshen Mishpat and they'll answer. The Choshen Mishpat will answer.
In this case, it's not really more of a kiss. Like if a guy to argue about whatever.
Could be. We have to look again. Exactly what he said. Maybe he said that yes, just yes, the facts. That could be. I don't know. Then you have to put the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen Mishpat. What are the Urim V'Tumim? In Perek Chav Ches and Pasuk Lamed, V'Nasato El Choshen HaMishpat Es Haurim V'Es HaTumim. What are the Urim V'Tumim? The Rashi says that Urim V'Tumim means the Shem HaMforish. Exactly what that means. Also a question. Uksav Shem HaMforish. For the Migdashani, Rashi quotes from Yuma, Migdashani, Hoyachosh, Sheyev Shalikan Gorlegis, Mukhus Begorim. But the Gemara says that five things were missing by Shani, that the Gemara at the end of the first Perek in Yuma. Five things were missing, and it says the Urim Mitumim was missing. So how could it be missing? Missing the Choshim? So he says, no. The Shem Hashem was missing because they knew that the Urim Mitumim it wouldn't answer. By Shani, in order that the Urim Mitumim should answer, you have to have a Kohen Hamadaba Baruch HaKodesh. The Kohen has to be a Shtikla Anobi, a Shtikla Bal Madrega Baruch HaKodesh. And by Shani, they didn't have that. They knew they weren't going to get any Baruch HaKodesh and by Shani. So the Melech, they took out the Urim Mitumim, they took out the Shem Hashem. Aye, the Kohen is up Mechusa B'Gavim. The answer is no. The Choshim is there. He's bearing the Choshim without the Urim Mitumim. That's how Rashi writes on Chumash. That's how Rashi writes on the Gemara also, Newman, the first parent. That's how the Ravid writes. And the Rambam doesn't learn like that. The Rambam says they didn't put any shame. Where does it say that? They didn't put any shame. You gave up here. Any shame in the Urim in the Choshen Mishpat. And the Urim Tatumim refers to the stones that would light up. Urim Shemi Irim, the letters of the Osias would light up in Tumim. Shehein Tumimim Shemi Tamim Divrayim, that it's a Nevuah Sheinu Chazeres. It's a Nevuah that's absolute. Urim Tumim is just a description of the Avonim that they had, the Yud Beis Avonim, and the properties that the Avonim had, that they would answer the Shailas in an absolute fashion. But they didn't have any shame that was put in. According to the Ram, what do you mean? By shame, they didn't have Urim Tumim. You mean they didn't have the stone? So the Rambam says it doesn't mean that. Means that they had the Urim Tumim, they had everything. There never was a Shem. And by Zvishin, there also was no Shem. Like and Tuff, the whole thing is Mishkitoy, Mishkifloy. There never was any Shem, they didn't put any Shem. That's where Rashi and the Rai get invested. The Rambam holds that they never had such a thing. He says that by Zvishin it worked, and by Shem it didn't work. That's all it means, that they didn't have Urim Tumim. It didn't work, and by Shem. An interesting machlokes between Rashi and the Shagas Arye and Yuma, the first Perek around the Zion, regarding Ritzu Tzitz, that the Tzitz is Meratze on Karbonas that have brought the Tuna. What does that mean exactly? The Kohen is wearing the Tzitz. The Gemara has a machlokes for Rav Shimon and Rav Yudit. It says, Tomid L'Rotzam Lahem L'Fnei Hashem. The Kohen has to wear the Tzitz. The Gemara has a machlokes Satanoim. Is the tzitz only meratze bizman that the Kohen Gadol wears it? Odom mitzcha meratze, ein odom mitzcha, ein meratze. If he's not wearing it, it's not meratze. That's how we assume that when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it, it's not meratze. And the other Tana says no. Tomei l'ratze l'ham l'fnei Hashem. When the tzitz is there, when it exists, it's meratze. Even if the Kohen doesn't wear it at all, there's not to wear the tzitz. As long as it exists. So when is it not meratze? When it's nizmeratze. When the tzitz broke. If the tzitz is broken, but then it can't be Meratza. Because the tzitz is there, and the Kohen Gadol is sleeping at home in bed, and the tzitz is sitting in the Azara, so it's already Meratza. So on the assumption that the tzitz is on Meratza while the Kohen Gadol is wearing it, now let's even on the Echta, according to the other time, whom we don't accept his opinion, let's say the tzitz is Meratza called Masha Yeshno, as long as it exists, the tzitz is Meratza. And if it's Nishbar, it's not Meratza. When is the moment of Ritzui? When does it have to be Meratze? When does it, like the Kohen talks, when does the Kohen Gadol have to be wearing it? According to the Yad HaTana, when does it have to be in existence and not be Nishbar? Or not the Chutz Lazor. Chutz Lazor is also like it doesn't exist. It only exists when it's in the Azor. Chutz Lazor is not called existence. So when is that? So the Rashi writes, Bilet Loim. Rashi writes, let's say you had a carbon in the Azor, and the carbon was Mekabel Tumah, accidentally. The carbon became Nitzma. So the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the carbon became Nismo. Even though the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz at the time that you were makriv the carbon, became Nismo, the dam was Nismo, and then you pour it, then you sprinkle on the mizbech. The shemen was Nismo, or the mincha was Nismo, and then you do the kmitze, and then you makter it on the mizbech. The Rashi says that the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz, the shosh and Nismo ha-carbon. So the Shagasari has a sefer on Yuma that called Buris Ari, where he disagrees with Rashi. He says, why should Rashi say that it depends on Shas Kabbalah Satum? It should depend on Shas HaKrof Sakorb. If the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz when the carbon tummy was offered, then the carbon tummy that was offered is good. But if the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time that the carbon became Nitmo, and then he takes off the tzitz, and then when you makrif the carbon, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, or it broke, The tzitz existed when it was when the korban was nikma, and then the tzitz broke by the time that you makriv the korban on the mizbeach. Why should you say that tzitz is meratza? Wait a minute, tzitz is meratza on a korban shekorban betumah, not on a korban that was makabel tumah. What, the belief that tzitz is considered as if it never became tumah? Why should you say like that? The latest one they point out that there's a Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin in the first parish, but he more talks a little bit about korban shekorban, but he says the parish like the Shagazan, not like Rashi. I thought the Boshim Shah was like the Shagazan. I thought Rashi was a teller. But it's very strange. Nobody jumps on Rashi until the Shagazak. I lived in the mid-1700s, end of the 1700s. Everybody leaves the Rashi alone. Until the Shagazak, he's the first one who attacked that Rashi. Achleg is Rashi in the Shagazak, the first parak in Yuma. The Ne'il, the Pasuk says, had to have Hamonim v'rimonim and Ishma Kolo b'rvo el HaKadosh. In order that everybody should hear when he's coming into the Heichal. Ubit say so, Nishma Kolom. What does it mean? Pamon Zohavir Imon, Pamon Zohavir Imon. Besochar Imonim. Pamonim, Besochar Imonim. What do you mean, Besochar Imonim? It's a Machlekes Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi learns they were alternating. They had every other space had a Rimon, and every other Pampam. Of cloth, and in between the pom-poms there were pamonim, there were belts. The belts were real, the belts were made from metal, and they were finished makolo, the belts would make noise. That's how Rashi learned. So what does it mean, the socha rimonim? In between, all the two, in between every set of rimonim, there was a pom-pom. And the Ramban says no, the socha means inside. There wasn't a pom-pom. There was a rimon means cloth, shell. And then there was a pamon inside the cloth shell. So not that they were alternating pamon, rimon, pamon, rimon, ashuram, il saviv. Every other one was a pamon, every other one was a rimon. The whole thing was the whole thing was rimonim all around. And in pamon, rimon, every pamon had a rimon in it. Every rimon had a pamon in it. Excuse me. Every rimon had a pamon in it. That's how the Ramban learned. We're so used to thinking like Rashi, no? You brought up my Rashi, yeah. My Rami Prak says the Ramban is wrong. Of course Rashi's right. You all know Rashi. I don't know, how did he know?
When the Ramban, how is it in the Shema Kolo? It's inside quite, it's not going to link.
I mean, it's not going to...
It's going to... It's the noise that be completely down.
Yeah. I don't think it means that the Ramban covered it completely. I think it's on the answer. It's just on the answer.
It's not going to create any ringing.
Zosanef that it made noise. In Yerideya, in Hilchas Sefer Torah, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there was such a practice that you have to stand up when you bring in a Sefer Torah. But the Pasuk says, and they say, "V'talkum hadarta b'nei zochim," you have to stand up for a Talmud Chochem. So the Gemara says, "Talmud Chochem," you have to stand up for a Talmud Chochem. Certainly, also you have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin that one of the Rabbi Yosef, I think, was blind. One of the Amorayim was blind, and he would stand up when his mother would come into the room. He would never see her, but when he would hear the noise of his mother's skirt or his mother's shoes, so he knew that that was her sound, so he would stand up. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that whenever you have a din, you have to stand up. So even if you don't see the Mechayiv is parents. Chayiv is Talmud Chacham, whatever. So what if you don't actually see the Talmud Chacham, you don't actually see your parents, but you hear the noise and you know the mailer that thing is coming, that's Mechayiv, you to stand up. So you have to stand up. Just like Rabbi Yosef, he couldn't see, he was blind, so whenever he heard his mother's walk, so he would stand up. So it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Sefer Torah, that's why the minhag was in Europe, that they used to have, on the Sefer Torah, they used to have pamonim, they used to have bells, so that everybody would know that they have to stand up when the bells would chime. And they would be walking in shul to say, sir. So the Taz made a big fuss about that. I remember when I was a little boy, I remember the not the mental of the sefer didn't have bells, but the sorim on top, yeah, the shofar on top used to have bells. They really rang. They used to ring. And that somehow recent years, most shul they did away with it, no? Because the Taz doesn't like it. Finally, the Taz won out. The Taz says, how can you do that on Shabbos? You're not allowed to ring a bell on Shabbos. The Achrayim say, you're not interested. Whatever, you're not interested in ringing the bell. Now they say, what do you mean Dov Shein has come? That's where they put the bell. Minishma calls the Lord HaKadosh. That's exactly what they put the bell. So true, you're carrying, you're interested in carrying the Torah from here to there, but the Hapsik Reish is in Nichalei. You know it's going to make noise. That's exactly what they put the bell, that you should make noise. Everybody should know that it's time to stand up. That's why the Taz Tain is that it's not right, you should do away with it. So, in some communities, they listen to the Taz. And others, they listen to the Shulchan Aruch. The pasuk says that on the tzitz there were two words, Kodesh LaHashem, Yudkei Rafi, Kodesh LaHashem. Exactly how is that written? So the Gemara has in Sukkah in the first parak, Machlokes HaTanoim. So the majority opinion of the Tanoim, that's how the Rambam writes, the majority opinion is that it says Kodesh LaHashem in a funny way. On the top line it said Yudkei Rafi, at the end of the line. And on the second line it says Kodesh Le, Kodesh LaHashem on top. And the next time it says, what are you talking about? I was once in Rome, in the Vatican, and I went into the treasury there, and they showed me the tzitz, and it's Kodesh LaHashem on one line. What are you hacking on Hashem? It's not true. I think one ever says what the other time I responded to his argument. So the Rambam Paskin is against it. The Rambam Paskin said it's Kodesh LaHashem. But see, the Torah Tumim over here quotes on that pasuk, how come the Rambam Paskin is against it? They made an archaeological discovery and they found that they went to Rome and they found that that's the way it's written, so that's the deal. So he says, he's quoting, I think. He says, oh, it must have been a mistake that one time. Kosher, but yeah, but he says, they made a mistake that time, they made the tzitz wrong. It's really supposed to be the other way. What do you mean? They made a tzitz every week, they made another tzitz? It's expensive stuff. Chilek loin. They had one tzitz the whole time. Were they different sized tzitz? Maybe, I don't know. Different, depending, they had a different kind of goal. Every kind of goal had a different side, how to fit his hands well. It was tied up, yeah. So is it just to say that different chronomists, the shape of the head is so different, big, small, whatever, so they had to make a whole different sits? So once he said, you saw a sit, that was funny. The normal sit is not supposed to be like that. But he had it as good the way he said it. The Lachatil is supposed to be like that. And Abbas was the other way. Against his Aedis. A carbon may be Kenega Cheskasisa. All animals are born Kulin. And then you endow it with Kedusha by declaring Hareza Kodesh. But that's the way. Says something in Sanctus, it's Kenega Cheskasisa. Maybe there we would not be believed, but over here, why not? Shadow the fact. So why shouldn't they be believed? Gemara says in Gittin, in the second parak, Uchitachta Olof Pituchei Choysam. How does one visualize the Uchitachta Olof? The Pashup Shad, you thought that they engrave Kodesh LaHashem. So the Gemara says, no, how to be Bolei. The engraving of the names of Shmos Bnei Yisrael twice, on the Kisos Leifog, on the two stones, and on the Choshen Mishpat, on the 12th stone, that was engraved, that was Shokua. But the Kodesh LaHashem, on the Tzitz, that was Bolei. So how did they do that trick to make it Bolei? So the simple shot is they took a Tas Sholzah, they took a golden bar, Fortnock, whatever, they take a bar gold and they start engraving out around the letters, so you have Kodesh LaHashem protruding. So the Gemara says, no, that's called Chok Tarechais. There's no my succeeder. It says you have to have succeeder. Where does it say? It says if you talk to all the Tzuchachais, where does it say? So the Gemara understands that that's what the Pasuk is, you need succeeder. So you didn't make a Ksiva on the Osios, you engraved, you carved out the space around the Osios so that the Osios remain boltos. So the Gemara says that's not called the Ksiva, so you're not, it's not a kosher at sit. You have to have my succeed. So the Gemara says in Gittin, they banged it out from the other side. They banged on the other side and it went through. And that is called Ksiva. That is called Ksiva. That's called Chalti Rechai. That's called Chalti. That is good. The Chumash said that it had to do Meshicha B'Shem and HaMishkan. on the Kohanim. Pasuk Mem Aleph says, "V'helbash toisam esarna filkol respana v'itoch mashach toisam." You should do the meshicha after they wear the big dekunim. So someone points out, "This man shein b'gdei malei men kunasim malei mahavalei kizar." So you're going to do the meshicha before they wear the big dekunim, like doing meshicha on an izar. But that's no good. So you have to first wear the big dekunim, and that gives them the status of kohanim. And after they have the status of kohanim, then you can do the meshicha. But hapshepul, no. That's the reason why. They weren't Kohanim yet. Before they had the Mashiach, they weren't yet Kohanim. So what do you mean? So wait a bit, they couldn't. And then you have a din of Kohanim. They didn't have a din of Kohanim yet. So they have the Mashiach. I don't think that's correct. At all. So Shekel. The Torah said you have to do it this order. But to say that that's the reason why, I don't think that's correct. I saw the Marami Prague in the Gurariya claim that they only did Mashiach on the Guf HaKohanim and on the Klisharim and on the Mizbeach and on the Krushim. They never did Mashiach on the Big Dikuna. They held Bash to Oysa Nesar and Achich and Ezban of Ito Omashach to Ozom Ozom is whom? Omashach to Ozom the Kohanim Umilesa Es Yodom the Kohanim Dikidash to Oysom. He says there was no Mashiach on the Big Dikuna. The pasuk later, the pasuk shan, the pasuk sounds fakir. In Perek Chof Tes, pasuk Chof Aleph. The simple translation, unless you're going to punctuate it with a lot of semicolons, heavy punctuation here with quotation marks, you can distort the meaning of any pasuk with the semicolons and footnotes and whatever, and parentheses. The pasuk sounds like it says, and I quote Rabbeinu, "But lakachtem en adam asher al hamizbeach." That the simple pshat in the pasuk is that they did do Mashiach to Shemin HaMishcha. The Hizeisa, not Mashiach HaZor, that they had to take Shemin HaMishcha and put it on the Big Dekun. I don't know exactly what the Marami Prag means. He insists that they didn't do. I can sympathize with him. I don't want anybody to smear oil on my suit. I'll get angry. I'll kill a guy. I have to go give it to the cleaner. It's going to cost more money. What kind of big dekuna? They're going to smear it up with oil. They're going to make it all greasy. So the Marami Prak says, oh, I don't know. No Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha on the big dekuna. Only the Kohanim on the Klisharit. Not on the big dekuna. But I don't know exactly. He doesn't comment on that pasuk. The pasuk Chof Aleph in Perek Chof Tes has no comment. Mashu, I don't think there's a shear. A little bit, okay, yeah, okay. No, but he says not at all. Marlon Prak claims not at all. He makes a point of it. He says they didn't do Mashiach on the Big Dikun. They did Mashiach on the Kohanim, not on the Big Dikun. Torah says a special kavanah that had to be brought in order to endow them with the kedushas kahuna. The Gemara says whenever you bring a carbon hashutfin, shutfin bring a carbon together, so you have to do snich and you have to do tenufis. And the tenufis is only done by one of the echad meinif ayde kulam. One does tenufis, let's say five shutfin in a carbon. If five people want Mechal Shabbos, you can't bring one chatas, each one has to bring his own chatas. Let's say five people decide they want to bring the carbon oil, whatever, they want to bring some carbon to the base HaMikdash, that requires tenufa. So the only one of the group does tenufa, all of the others don't do, let's say shlomim. And an oil does nothing, you do tenufa. And shlomim do tenufa on the chazir v'shoik. The Bailim with the Kohanim together do the tenufa. So you don't have tenufa done by each one of the five shutzim. Echad meinifai de kunum. And if smicha is done, that's the first stop in Erech. First off and forth. So the Gemara has brises like that. Echad menifai de kumam, one of the chaverim, one of the shutzim does tnufa, the other four don't have to do tnufa. But the smich has to be done by each one individually, but they don't all fight to the smich of the vasachas, because how big is the whole head of the animal, and you have to do smich of the chatzik. You're going to, how can five people lean on the animal, b'shtei or dying? The whole koichai, there isn't enough room. And if they're all going to do the vasachas, they'll have a chatzik problem. So you have one does smicha, the next one does smicha, all five do smicha b'zeach hazeh. Here, the pasuk says the feirish, and the Tosefta points it out, that this was an exception to the rule that they all did tenufa.
Why they all do smicha? Then they all did smicha. That's the same as every korban. You all did smicha. The samach aron of one of the sidem al rosh hapar. They all did smicha. But the pasuk says they all did tnufa. But the brisker rov is already not in the same nachum. The brisker rov is in shiurim on erchen. On the first drop in erchen. Points out this pasuk and this tosefta. So he says he thinks that the pshat is like this. When five people decide to bring a shlamim together, it's just al pi mikra. We decided all to bring together. I could have, if I would be rich, I could bring it without the other four guys. Mr. Number 2 can bring it without number 1 and number 3, 4, 5. Any one of them could have brought without the other. We all decided to bring it together, so each one is an independent balakor. So that's why my hands would be chatzitza to your hands. And each one has to do smicha independently. And that's why the Gemara says tenufa also. The Gemara says, why is echad meinafai de kulam? Because to have all five do tenufa b'vasachas, you can't do that because we're going to have a problem of chatzitza. I have each one of them do tenufa b'zer hazer, like by smicha, each one does smicha b'zer hazer. So the Gemara lands out from a pasuk, you can't have that. You have a pasuk that says you only do one tenufa on Friday. You don't do five tenufas to one korban. That's why echad meinafai de kulam. One does tenufa in the yoyzer. So the brisker of says, and the fact that it says over here that the sefer points out the pasuk. Here by the korban of Aharon of Vanov, they had five balei korban. Aharon was one of the four sons. Another Rabbi Elazar of Yisama. They all brought together this korban. It's not that they decided to save money to bring one korban. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, that's it. You got to bring all. The Rebbeinu Shlom is kaveh all five of balei korban. So he says, Memel over here, he thinks that there wouldn't be any problem of chatzitza. And that's why they all did tenufa. He thinks pshat is the vatacha. He thinks they all did tenufa the vatacha. And he says, if he'd ask me, they all did smicha b'vasachas also. The only reason why normally you can't do smicha b'vasachas, you have to do b'zachazes, so that my hand should be chatzitza between your hands and the korban. Because I'm an independent bala korban and you're independent. We have no shaykhas, no kesher with each other. We happen to decide to save money, so we're all going to bring a shlamim together. But here with the tzivoy Hashem was, the Rosh Hashem was, that all five kohanim should bring one korban together, the yachad, the shutzpiz. So all five are one balei akorban. Hopefully they're all one balei. So my hands are not a hatzitz between your hands and the korban. So everybody does smicha together b'vasachas. And that's why they all did tenufa b'vasachas. There was no problem of chatzitz. The tzak only one tenufa. He admits, he says, that the raivin and the tirish and teres kohanim on parashas tzav, where it says that they brought these karbonis. The karbonis in the end of the tzavah and teres kofkes and shafter kofkes. Kofkes is the dikdikun and kofkes is the karbonis. So it says here, it says the tzivui to bring these special korbanos, and it says in Parashat Tzav that they actually brought the korbanos. So the Tirish arrived on the bottom of the Taras Kohanim on Parashat Tzav, they arrived right to Dovah Pashut that they did the smicha b'zeh hazeh, just like by your korbanos you do smicha b'zeh hazeh. So here also Aharon Avon did b'zeh hazeh. But the Brizgarov says he doesn't know what forced the Raivit, he doesn't want to argue with the Raivit, he doesn't know what forced the Raivit to say like that. He would have said easier that he was a separate din, a special din that could all do the smicha together.
There's a difference between smicha and smicha, smicha as it were, I don't call it like the hasher towards preparing you towards the hakrava. Smicha, I think your education of the smicha is sort of like a maisa hakrava.
Tenufa is an avoda.
Tenufa is sort of more like an avoda, right? As opposed to tenan. So preparing all the pieces so that the 40, when Hashem wanted them, you know, Hashem wanted them all to be marked this thing, participants. And so they all did these tenufa together, whereas the smicha is the attachment to what? For that problem, I just think you
the Gemara learns that a din from this pasuk. I should have said that Nagei Halacha Lamaisa, the Isa Hesach Hadas, when you wear tefillin. The Gemara says, the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz Tomid. Roy Al Mitzchah Tomid. What does it mean Tomid? So one time it says, Machlegs of Yudin Reb Shimon. In the first parak in Yuma, the Avav, in the Sanhedrin around the few days, the Gemara has a Machlegs of Tomid. So the Gemara says, one time it says, Tamid l'ratz in the hand of Hashem. You put the Rehoya Mitzchah, semicolon, Tamid l'ratz in the hand of Hashem, that it's always Meratza, even when it's not Al Mitzchah. Filo Eina de Al Mitzchah. You have to put the poor has to be before the word Tamid. And we assume not so. It's only meratze. It's not tamid l'ratzon lahem. It's only meratze when it's all done mitzvah. So what does the word tamid mean? Say v'ayam mitzvah l'ratzon lahem l'fnei Hashem. The word tamid just doesn't fit in. If you're always, always meratze, even when he's not wearing it, so you understand v'ayam mitzvah semicolon tamid l'ratzon lahem l'fnei Hashem. Tzitz is always meratze, even when he's not wearing it. But if you say the way we assume that it's only meratze this man that he's wearing the tzitz, what do you need the word tamid for? Because when I said the word tamid means that when he's wearing the tzitz, he should really wear it. What does that mean? He shouldn't even see us out. Oya mitzchay tamid, when he's wearing the tzitz, he should not be misiyah fast in the fact that he's wearing the tzitz. The Gemara says, and miyata kalvachay meradvarim, it's more in the first pair of opinions, it says, miyata kalvachay meradvarim, madach tzitz only says once shem Hashem, kodesh lo Hashem. There's an Issa hesach hadas, certainly more so tefillin, the tefillin had 21 times in the shoyad, and 21 times in the shorosh, the Rambam had it all. Yosemir pointed out, that was up to 42, shem and beis. Whatever significance that may possibly have, I don't know. I don't know if the Yosemir is quoting somebody or he's just on his own. He says, the Rambam says 21 in the Shayat, 21 in Shalosh, the Shem Yud gave up to appear. It's the same parshia. Of course it's going to be the same number of times. So 21 times the Shem Yud gave up to appear in Shayat. So since it's 42 times as much as the Tzitz, so there's certainly a din of Hesach Hadas. That's the marker for the din of Isa Hesach Hadas when you erect them. The Taisis there claims in Yuma that this is only an asmachta of the Rabbanon, the Yisra Hesach Hadash when you're ate them. Because there's the Pircha and the Kalvachayim, the Tzitz has the Shem Hashem, the Goloi. And the Tzilin has the Shem Hashem 42 times fine, but it's all Mechusa, it's not Mezula. So maybe the Yisra Hesach Hadash only applies when the Shem Hashem is the Goloi. So be Zoyin to the Shem Hashem. The guy has the Tzitz, but the Shem Hashem exposed, and he's just watching television. He's eating his peanut sandwich, his peanut butter sandwich. He's playing chess. So that's the Nisa Hesach Hadas, that's not covered of the sin. But the film, the Shem Hashem is not visible. No one knows. The Esker Goy, yes, anyone. No one knows what's written inside the film. But since it's Mechusa, and maybe there's no din of Hesach Hadas. That's what Taisi Tain is. The whole Kalvachayim is only in Asmach, and the Rabbanan. And the real Nisa Hesach Hadas is only derived by Tzitz and not by Tzum and Arom. And the Rambam and other Shem seem to hold not like Taisi. They quote the Kalvachayim, a bona fide Kalvachayim. They don't say it's only in the Rabbanan. He told that it's really a good Kalachan. I say it's Kasha. Shin Dal Yud, Lachor is less of a shame than Yud Kirvokhtin. Lachor is Lachor Shin Dir Kalachan. The Gemara says it has many more times than Yud Kirvokhtin. I say it's Kirchen. I give Tehruz. I give up the Pshetalik of Tehruz. I don't know. Kasha is a good to Kasha. The Torah says that when you begin to endow the Kohanim with Kedushas Truna, you have to give Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. You don't do this every year in the Beis Hamikdash, only on that one occasion. That would be a special set of Korbanos, that would be Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, that would wear Pesach HaMoed, everything special dina. And part of this is Lidoros also. Shivas Yami Yilbasham HaKoyim Tachto Nibana. When do you listen, they're going to pick someone today, make him a Kohen. You are a Kohen, you're not a Kohen. You don't make Mizrahim. But a Kohen Gadol you do make. When the old Kohen Gadol retires, or he gets fired, or he dies, whatever, so you have to make a new Kohen Gadol. So then you have to do something. So you have to have Mashiach. Kohen has to be Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. And if he can't be Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, then you have a Merubat God. Man Bais Mishan, they had Shem and Amishcha. So at the end of the Bais Mishan, Yoshio HaMelech was going to be Shem and Amishcha. So from that time on, you only have a Kohen Gadol who is a Merubat God. The Mishnah has a Megillah that there's a difference. The Kohen who is Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha has more of a status of a Kohen Gadol than a Kohen who is Merubat Godim. That's why the Mishnah says in the Nozir, what if the two Kohanim are walking down the street, down the road, on a highway, a deserted road, the Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha and the Merubat Godim, this is once in the history of the world, when Yoshio HaMelech is going as B'Shem and Amishcha, and then the next Kohen Gadol became a Kohen Gadol like they, Merubat Godim, and the first Kohen Gadol is still alive, so they're both walking down the street. Right, you don't have today, you can have two people walking down the street. One is the Kohen Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha, one is the Merubat Godim. So at that time, and they come upon a Meis Mitzvah, and they bump into a Meis Mitzvah, so, and they, all you need is one of them to take care of the Meis Mitzvah. So which one should be Mitame? So the Mishnah says that the Merubat Godim should be Mitame Obviously, the Reuven's Gordon is going to be much younger. No, Shulchan Shemana Mishkan is older. No, he's the old guy. So I would say also, let the Reuven Gordon be. But the Mishnah says not because of he's younger, he's older. The Mishnah says because the one is Mashuach Shemana Mishkan has more kedushas kain Gordon than the other one. Like Machila Mosa Hakala Kalchida, like the Kloch Nefesh is Deichi Yisri Teira. So the Mishnah in the end of the Yuma says, Machila Mosa Hakala Kalchida, try to violate the minimum. If you have to violate more, you violate more, but you try to get away with less. He wrote the truth that there has a nice mitzvah for kohen gadol, but if you have two kohen gadol, and one is less of a kohen gadol than the other because there's a slight difference between the two. Mishnah has a slight difference, but then you have the rule of God to be mitameh, as opposed to the kohen hamashir of Hashem and Hamishka. What is the slight difference? The Mishnah says, Par hapo al kol hamishkas. The par hapo al kol hamishkas is an apkemina. What does that mean? Rashi says on that Mishnah in Megillah. Actually, there are a few places in Shas. Rashi translates like that. The par habo al kol hamitzvah means the par hal and dovashel tzibur. But if you look in Parshas VaYikra, in the Chumash VaYikra, there's a pasuk that says when you bring mel and dovashel ha'ido, the Bez Nagonu Taskin something by mistake, you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, and everybody listens to the Bez Nagonu, they all turn on the lights, and then they realize they're Taskin wrong, and it's an Isid Deraisa. So they have to bring a parhel and davar shel tzibur. So who does the avoid in the parhel and davar shel tzibur? Anybody does the avoid, any kind. So it says in the pasuk, a kohen gadol does the avoid. So Rashi says, not only a kohen gadol, you need a kohen gadol mashuach b'shem and amishcha. A kohen gadol is only merubah b'gadim can do it. You need davka mashuach b'shem and amishcha. So Tosfos comments on that Rashi that it's just not so. Either the pasuk says so. So Tosfos says, but the sifra, the Tosfos comments on that pasuk says that even though the pasuk says so, it's not to be taken literally. A kohen hadith can also do the other. You don't even need a kohen gadol at all, let alone that you don't need a kohen mashuach b'shem and amishcha. So what does the Mishnah mean? Eimei kohen mashuach b'shem and amishcha, the kohen mashuach b'shem and amishcha, the kohen mashuach b'shem and amishcha, the kohen gadol. If the kohen gadol will pass him for himself, if the kohen gadol is a tamachach, and he passed him for himself that you're allowed to do something on Shabbos, and then he realized, and he did it. And then he realized he made a mistake, and he's mechal Shabbos, and he has to bring, he doesn't just bring kizba osira, like any hedgur, like any private person who is Mechal Shabbos B'Shem. He has to bring a par kohen gadol. So that special din, a par kohen gadol, only applies if the kohen gadol was the kohen gadol who was Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka. But if he was only a merubah gadol, he doesn't have that din. But who does the hakrov of that korban? No, you don't need. Rashi said the hakrov of a par helam davashot tzibur, or the hakrov of a par kohen gadol, must be done by kohen gadol who is Mashiach B'Shem and Amishka. And Tosfos says it's not true. Even though the pasuk says so, by Yikra, Tosfos Kaim says that it's loved out because the only time you need a kohen gadol is Yom Kippur. That's all. You never need a kohen gadol for anything. Only Yom Kippur. And even these two, par halam davashal tzibur, par kohen gadol, even though it says you need a kohen gadol, it's not true. And the Mishnah says, can a kohen gadol, which kohen gadol becomes obligated to bring this special par? He doesn't have to be makriv, he doesn't have to do the hakrova. Who becomes obligated to bring it? Only if he is a kohen gadol who is a mashuach b'shem and hamishnah. Therefore, since if you have one slight difference between this kohen gadol and that kohen gadol, so the Mishnah Nazir says that if they're both walking down the highway together, once in the history of the world, they're walking down the street together and they find a meis mitzvah, so let the merubah of gadim be metameh rather than the mashuach b'shem and amishcha. So this we have the daris also. You don't make kohanim l'daris, but you make kohanim gedolim l'daris. So how do you make a kohen gadol l'daris? They make a kohen gadol l'daris either idei mashiach b'shem and amishcha. Or after you go in as the Shem and Amishcha, then you make a day Merubah of God. Should be Mitame. Akasha, but the Mishnah says not so. The Mishnah says that it's a Heter, it's only a Doiche, so you should try to avoid it as much as. It's not Hutra. Not Hutra. When a kohen is metame to meis mitzvah, the machleg is Rashi and Tosfos and Brachos on Dav Chav. Whether the din that a kohen is metame to meis mitzvah is Hutra Dchuyo. So the Pasha Pshat is that it's only Dchuyo. It's only Dchuyo, and that therefore whenever you have Dchuyo, so the din is Hakala Kal Tchili, try to minimize as much as possible. So the Mishnah in Nozir has an elaborate listing. Yeah, but Nozir with a kohen are walking down the street, and they're both forbidden to be metami lemeis. But the kohen at least give him metami to the zayin kreiv, and the nozir not. So the Nazir has a higher Kaddish year. God will pay us our Rosh. The Nazir has a higher level of Kedusha when he gets to the Truman. So let the Kohen be Mitameh and not the Nazir. And what if you have Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, and they're both forbidden to be Mitameh even to the Zayin Krov, and they both have the Heter of Meis Mitzvah, but the Nazir is only Lizman, and the Kohen Gadol is Kalai. So let the Nazir be Mitameh. And what if you have two Kohen Gadol walking down the street? So that's the Mishnah has the whole listing. That's the first Mishnah, Perek Kohen Gadol. And the seventh Perek in Nazir. The Pashup Shat in the Mishnah is that it's the Heter Tumas Meisim by a Meis Mitzvah Zechuyah. Not like Rashi. Rashi says that it's Utram. The Baruch is Dachsam. The Pashup Shat is like this, that it's Zechuyah. And therefore you have to try to minimize as much as possible.
Really, it's not that it's Zechuyah. It's just that if you have somebody with a Rashi Kedusha, so it's not already just for God.
Okay. Or you could say like that. Okay. Could be. He answered, how according to Rashi that it's Utra? So what is Rashi going to do with that Mishnah? So he says, it's not a Meis Mitzvah. If you only need one person to take care of him, and the other guy can take care, so as far as I'm concerned, it's not a Meis Mitzvah. You just have to decide, for whom is it the Meis Mitzvah, for whom is it not the Meis Mitzvah. So whoever is Mochomer, so for him it's not a Meis Mitzvah. So the lesser God, okay. So the Pasuk speaks about, the Pasuk in the Chumash doesn't speak about appointing new Kohanim. Pasuk speaks about appointing Kohanim G'doylam. So in Perek Kav Tes Pasuk Lamed it says Shilas Yom Yil Bosham Hakoyin Tachtav Nibonam Asher Yovel Lo Amoyed L'Shoreh B'Kodesh. And L'Doro is when you make a new Kohen Gadol, the same procedure Mishra Mishich V'Shem and Amishchem, if you don't have, then you should have Merubah B'Godim. So Derech Agav, the Gemara in Yuma learns out from this Pasuk. The Gemara in Yuma is quoted here. Afayin Gimel. It's at the end of Perek Bolo. That dot, one dot that talks about the Big Dekuna. The dot before, right before the last Perek. The last dot in the seventh Perek in Gimel. So the dot says there that from this passage we derive also Yil Vosham HaKoyin Tachtov Nibanav. You see number one, that Kuna Gdoyla goes to Birusha. That if the father is kind of gone when he dies, so the proper thing is that if there are no Mimali Mikomo, if the son knows how to do the job, and he's not a cholol, the kasha to be a Kohen Gadol, so you appoint him to be the Kohen Gadol. He gets a birusha, but that's only Kohen Gadol goes birusha Kohen Gadol. But what if the father was a Kohen Mashiach Mechama? So his appointment was for he's the chief chaplain of the army. He's for the army. He's not for the Beit Hamikdash. And the pasuk says Shivat Yom Yom Hashem Hakohen Tachtav Ibanam Asher Yovel Lo Amoy Besharis Bakodesh. Mashiach Mechama's appointment has nothing to do with Olam Moed. It has to do with the battlefield. So therefore, there's no birusha on the Mashiach Mechama. So Rav Kook has an essay about that in our Hashkafas Olam there's such a thing as war, but we don't visualize that war should be a perpetual thing. We're not interested in being mamshech war from one generation to the next. But to say that the Mashiach Muhammad is his man is Gozov Birusha to his son is rubs us the wrong way. We don't want to have, what do you have, a war department for Yom Avoid? You have an army for Yom Avoid. To have a standing army, unfortunately, now you have to have a standing army in Israel because to say that there's a war. But theoretically, we don't want to have a standing army. Theoretically, say it's an ad hoc army. It's an ad hoc Mashiach Muhammad. We appointed him now. We don't want it to go beyush. That's how we farem for the kasha that the Achrenim have. I think Rav Zevin has this in a Sefer Isha Meshitos when he writes about Rav Kook. He quotes the Achrenim now, are bothered with Akasha. The Mishnah says in the end of time it is, they would borrow white dresses from their girlfriends because some of the girls wouldn't have nice clothing, so that everybody had to borrow. Even the king's daughter had to borrow. And it says, and they would all be table all the dresses just in case some of the girls would be tar, some would be tummy, so that everybody would be table all the dresses because those would need those. And then they would dance in the streets and the boys would pick out the kalas. They would get engaged. So the and Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says, whom would they borrow the dresses from? So it goes down gradations. It says the Kohen Gadol's daughter borrows from the Sgan Kohen Gadol, the assistant Kohen Gadol. The assistant Kohen Gadol's daughter borrows from the daughter of the Mashiach Muhammad. That you're going down, And the Mishnah sounds like the top man in the Kuna is the Kangaroo next to the assistant Kangaroo next is the Mashiach Muhammad. So Mashiach Muhammad below this guy. And then there's another Gemara, that's in the Mishnah at the end of Tainus. Then there's a Gemara in the middle of Yuma, I think. But the Gemara says otherwise. The top man is the Kangaroo, the next man is the Mashiach Muhammad, and this guy, and the assistant Kangaroo is lower down on the rung of Madrega. The Hastira. The Gemara in Yuma says that the Mashiach Muhammad is above this Gan. Here the Gemara in Tainus, it sounds like the Gan is above the Mashiach Muhammad. The Rav Kook said, no, Avad the Mashiach Muhammad is above this Gan. But here we're talking about the daughters. As far as the children are concerned, what Yichus is it? I mean, if the father's going to die, they're going to take over. No, Mashiach Muhammad doesn't go to Yerusha. But therefore, as far as the children are concerned, this Gan is, his position can go to Yerusha to the children, can't go to the daughters. But theoretically, it can go to the children. So therefore, the position of Zgan is higher than the position of Mashiach Muhammad. Anyway, with or without that teretz, that's with the pasuk. The Gemara and Darshan is this pasuk like that. That Mashiach Muhammad doesn't go the Yerusha to the children. The pasuk says that the Yishirik of Eshalta is the Sar B'Makom Kodesh. The El HaMiluim was a Shlomim, and normally you can eat Shlomim in Yerushalayim, in Machne Yisrael, and this one says B'Makom Kodesh, not B'Makom Tor. The Rashi says, because this Shlomim had the status of Kachi Kachim, so they had to eat it in the Chatzir. Why did the Shlomim have the status of Kachi Kachim? Because it was Zidchi Shalmi Tzibur. It says in Ezemekam, Zidchi Shalmi Tzibur B'Hashomis, HaKachi Kachim. Only Shalmi Yachid is Kachim Kam. Shalmi Tzibur is Kachi Kachim. That's the Rashi on this Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Terekhov test Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rashi says it. The Makom Kodesh, not the Makom Tohar, Shalomim Halalu, Kachi Kachim Hayu, because it's a Shalmi Tzibur. How do you know whether Shalmi Tzibur, Shalmi Yavah? Depends who pays for it. If it's paid for by a private person, then it's Shalmi Yavah. It's paid for by the Tzibur, then it's Shalmi Tzibur. It says, and who eats the Shalomim? Yoch Lois Masha Kupa Bohem, Lamali Es Yodom, it should be eaten by those on whose behalf it was offered. Namely the Kohanim. Says, this grata happens to be Achilas Kachi Kachim. So the Rambam is masking. The Rambam writes, Achilas Kachi Kachim, Adiyah Kohanim is a mitzvah. Achilas Kachim Kalim, the Brisker of Hazan Chumash. Maybe on this pasuk, I don't remember. There's a Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah Achilas Kachim is only by Kachi Kachim. By Kachim Kalim, there's no mitzvah Achilas. There's an Issa Nicer. You have to see to it that it shouldn't be left over till the morning because it's going to become nifsal belina. But I don't have to eat it. I can not fulfill my mitzvah. You can't say there is no mitzvah to eat it. I'll see to it that I won't violate the aver of the sirman abeka. I'll give you a piece. I'll give him a steak. I'll be misad. I'll see to it that it's eaten up by people. I don't have to eat it. I don't get any mitzvah by eating it. You just don't violate the aver. If you see to it that it's eaten up, you will not have violated any aver. Rashi and Pesachim in one place writes not so. Yochlos Mashakupa Pehem is the source of the mitzvah of Achilas Kachim Kalmai Deha Bailu. The Baal HaShlomim, the one who brings the Shlomim, the Beis HaMikdash has a mitzvah to eat the Shlomim. Yochlos Mashakupa Pehem. But the Yeskan Rashi, it's a Shvach HaRai, because Rashi just said over here on Lamed Aleph that this is a Kachi Kachim, because this was a Zidche Shalmei Tzibur. Zidche Shalmei Tzibur is Kachi Kachim. Maybe the mitzvah of Achilas is only Kachi Kachim, like the Rambam holds. Rambam is not the Farish. The only time there's a mitzvah sachila is by Kosh Kosh. The Chor makes a difference whether you say a bracha, no? You say a bracha when you eat the Ashekh Rishon, Abit Dushos, Shalom Tzibon, Al Achilas, Tzar Hachapa, Al Achilas, Shalom Tzibon. So the Kohanim say a bracha when they eat it. What about the Yisro says a bracha when he eats, Kom Pesach is a mitzvah to eat. What about al achilas hazera? Do you say a bracha when you eat korban shlamim or not? So the last mishnah in Pesachim has the last daf in Pesachim. Rav Kook Chof Aleph, I think. Has machlekes Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Shmuel Beruch al Pesach, Pater Shal Zerach, Beruch al Zerach, like Pater Shal Pesach. So the Rashbam learns pshat in the mishnah, Pasha pshat, that when you eat the korban Pesach, say ha-shakel, when you say ha-moitzi, when you say when you eat the the master first, and you don't have to say shopping in his head, shake it, shine him in toast with Tiwano, Lechel Sapesach, or Achida Sapesach. And then when you eat the Chagiga Sabra Osar, which is a Shalmi Yachid, you say Brach also, Shek Shem Sassan, or Achida Sazeva. That's how the Rashbam learned. Yeah, that's the Rashbam the Shikos, the Rashbam is Rashi's grandson. He learned by his grandfather, and he was influenced by his grandfather, and he quotes all the time. Rashi holds that it's a mitzvah, Achida Shlomim by the Bailim. But others say on that Mishnah, that it's not necessarily so like the Rashbam. maybe the brachas alluded to are recited by the kohanim when they do the zrikas hadam. Who says biruch ha-zevach, biruch ha-pesach, goes on the achivos ha-pesach, achivos ha-zevach, and the back of the zrikas, I think of Shlomo Ladum, if I'm not mistaken, close to the sefer, that says that it goes on the, when the kohanim do the zrikas hadam, they're saying these brachas. That's an avodah, that's a mitzvah, but when the violin needed, maybe there's, when the violin meet the carbon pesach, that's a mitzvah. When the violin meet the shlomim, maybe there's no mitzvah. There is an Easter to leave it over, but there's a lot. But you don't say a bracha when you do something in order to avoid violation of a law. You only say a bracha when you fulfill the mitzvah. So that's a machlokes. Rashi and the Rambam on this pasuk. This is the pasuk.